get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Ball Don't Lie, episode 140, man. As usual, I'm your host, Scott. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott. Got the homie Dante in the building. You can follow him at OctoberZone Tate on Twitter. You're listening to two credentialed sports reporters. Now you need to put a little respect on our names. I just got done covering Bears, Niners, and Soldier Field. And this guy here has got done covering the freaking World Series, bro. For the world champion Atlanta Braves, man. Let the people know, how was your experience?
No, it was amazing, bro. You know, really being out there with veteran reporters. I think one of the craziest things was like, I'm in a circle with Rob Parker, Bob Nightingale, and they start talking about, what's the first World Series you cover? And they both go, the 1986 Mets World Series. And I go, damn, I was born in 1988.
Nigga, mine is today. Right.
And they just start laughing. Like, oh, thanks for adding that to the conversation. Yeah. Like, it was funny, but no, it was dope. Everybody really showed love, you know what I'm saying? Releasing a lot of veteran reporters out there. Marley Rivera from ESPN, she was dope. She was really, like, excited and was like, you know, welcome. We need more people of color out here really covering the game of baseball. And so, you know, it was really encouraging because, you know, like you said, we've been doing this, you know, on an independent level. And really starting to get that access, you know what I'm saying? It's really dope. And seeing that people out there that want to see us in there. They want to see us in those rooms, asking the questions that, you know, sometimes they necessarily can't ask. So it was amazing, bro. You know, it's covering two games, you know, actually like the Braves getting it done, you know what I'm saying? We got all that Atlanta is cursed shit. So
how was Atlanta since the, because I feel like it wasn't as big on my TL as I thought it would be. I follow a lot of Atlanta news.
Yeah. I mean, they were hype, but, you know, at the same time, a lot of people still got that bitter taste in their mouth because they moved out to Cobb County.
Okay, so what is Cobb? I've seen a lot of people talk about that. Like, what's the difference between the two?
This would be the equivalent, like, if the White Sox moved from 35th to, like, South Holland or some shit like that. Like that's what it would be. Cause like, it's not far, you know what I'm saying? If you right by the E-way, it's a quick 15, 20
minutes. South Holland White Sox. That's
what yeah, exactly. But like, it's the racial aspect of it. Cause like, even with the parade on Friday, they having two different ones. Like,
so when I saw when you tweeted that, so it's not like on the night, it's not the same route and they just stopping at that?
No, it's like they got a parade route in the city. They're going to stop at the park in the city and then they're going to get escorted up to Cobb County.
Oh, that's terrible.
Up the highway.
So yeah. Where's the actual speeches gonna happen in Cobb County?
That's my thing. I'm thinking like they may have two speeches, but like they're gonna have something in Cobb County, and I think they're having it at some convention center, and then they're going to the park. So you honestly, 9 times out of 10, you may get the speeches there, but I think they are having something in Centennial. So I don't know why they would have us go to Centennial if we're not gonna at least get to see the trophy or something.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Like, I've never.
Yeah, but I mean it's just been the whole. That's just the whole. That's their whole vibe, you know.
Right.
They moved up north to be around a quote unquote season ticket holders. So we all know what it really was.
Yeah, that's gonna be like what Arlington with the Bears. But
exactly. That's exactly know. that's exactly the whatever. Every time I go up there, that's the vibe I get. Like, this is gonna be the same shit.
But like I tell niggas, if you can't afford Soldier Field, you damn sure can't afford Arlington. So it's like, what are we talking about? I just want a new stadium, man. It was cool being in Soldier Field on Sunday, but man, that place is a dump, bro. Like I was telling you before we got on. Bro, when I stepped on that field to do post game, it smelled like grass and mud, bro. And I'm like, they play on this, bro? Like, I'm sitting there almost tripped, and I just had ones on. Like, I'm like, bro, like, what's going on here? But it was cool, man. It was a cool experience. My second game of these other seasons, my first home game. I'll be doing one more home game. We're driving up to Pittsburgh for Monday Night Football this week, so check out that coverage, man. It's going to be cool. You know, my cousin's a diehard Steeler fan. She told me if I don't bring her a terrible towel, I'm dead to her. So
hey, shout out to y'all, bro, because that's old school journalism right there, man. You know when hell I'm driving to Pittsburgh.
I'm not driving. That nigga driving. I'm not driving nothing, nigga. Like if it wasn't Monday Night Football, you know what I'm saying? I don't think I would have been as good. I'm like, it's Monday Night Football, bro. Like, it's the only game in town. And I'm just trying to cover as many games as possible. You know what I'm saying? Then I'm gonna go to LA for 10 days just so I can sleep in my own bed. And of course, the homie Damien, he's having his engagement party. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna go there. And then I'm gonna come back in town after the bye week. Lamar Jackson is gonna come and tell Lamar versus Justin. Gonna cover that. Then I'm going to go to Thanksgiving game in Detroit because my auntie's in Detroit. We're going to have Thanksgiving in Detroit. So I'm like, if I'm going to go to Detroit of all places, I'm going to at least cover a game. You know, come home for 2 weeks. And then last game of the season I'm going to cover is going to be at Lambeau. And hear me good. They better not let the Bears win that game because I'm sitting in the end zone Indian style doing that post game if we win. Straight up. But y'all are not here to hear this. Y'all are here to hear about basketball, man. We are 2 weeks into this season, man. I want to start off with initial thoughts. I've watched a little bit. I've watched enough to talk about it on the pod. I really only really watched the Bulls, you know, and it's kind of like how I am at the beginning of the season, especially with the Bulls being, you know, competitive now and good. I don't really think I'm going to lock in until after the Super Bowl. But what are some of your opening thoughts on the first 2 weeks, you know, play-wise and stuff you've seen?
I mean, at least as far as the East, it's fun to see. I know it's real early, so, you know, one of the cliches we like to say, real small sample size. But seeing Miami, Chicago, and New York, there's 1, 2, 3 in the East, you know, having those three teams playing well, you know, we talked about it, you know, especially as Bulls fans, they're exceeding expectations so far. Some of the better teams struggling out the gate. You know, we talked about how will Brooklyn play without James Harden? Not James Harden, without Kyrie. You know what I'm saying? And we've seen that. You know, Milwaukee being 4-4. You know, nobody expected that. You know what I'm saying? The Hawks are 4-3. So it's a lot of the teams that came into the season with a lot of hype, and they started out playing pretty much 500 basketball. And so, you know, one thing, you know, the Bulls played the Raptors. I really liked what I saw from Scottie Barnes. Bro was really, really fucking hooping. Buddy from the Pistons, even though, you know, the Pistons are 1-6, Sadiq Bey, you know, they've played some really decent games, and he's played some really good games. You know, I like what I've seen from him. Not too sure what's going on down in Indiana, with, you know, them being 2-6 right now. That's one of those teams that people, like, at least expected them to play in.
Yeah.
But, you know, they struggled out the gate, you know. At least as far as the West, you know, out the gate, Golden State, that's been my, you know, I think that's everybody's surprise team. Like, we really didn't know what we were getting out of them. But, you know, between, you know, Steph, Jordan Poole, that team has shown you that they, you know, they're pretty good. And so if they can keep this up until they get Steph, get Klay, and Klay comes back and is actually, you know, the Klay Thompson of old, talking about a team that could really be a threat out there in the West. You know, Utah picked up where they left off. The only loss they have is to the Bulls. We spoke about Memphis on our first episode, you know, really seeing Ja Morant start to take that next step. So, you know, right now they're 4-3. They've played some, you know, really tough games. They went out, they beat the Lakers, didn't they? They beat the Warriors in overtime. Went out West and beat the Warriors, you know. Minnesota's been fun out the gate, you know. One of those league pass teams. You know,
I love Anthony Edwards, man.
Yeah, he's a star, bro. He got the personality, he got the game, he got all of it. He's a star. My MVP, Paul George, has been hooping, but the Clippers are trash.
Clippers are terrible, man.
He's averaging
you're going to need him. You're going to need them to pump the wins up if you think he's on MVP.
I mean, he's averaging like 28-6-4, but you're right. If they stay currently, they're like the 11th seed. If they stay down there, it's no good for them.
They're going to start selling Clipper tickets to El Pollo Loco again. They keep this shit up.
And what I say, and my most surprising is Zion Williams turned into Sean Kemp a lot earlier than I thought. He's big as hell. Like, did you see the video?
Yeah, he looks like, big. What did Shaq, Chuck say? Chuck say, Zion look like him and Shaq had a baby.
Yeah, bro, like that shit is crazy. Like, not even trying to clown, bro. But, and it's unfortunate for a guy like Brandon Ingram, who, you know, has come in and, you know, once again shown that he's locked in, trying to get better. And, you know, this is what's happening, so... It's interesting to see what's going to happen in New Orleans, especially with, you know, his whole camp was talking about how they wanted to get out of there. You know, they're not happy with the trajectory of the team. And it's like, you aren't really helping them at all. So that's really some of my initial, that was really my first initial thoughts, you know, this first couple of weeks.
Yeah, man, I'm with you, man. I think the number one thing that kind of stood out to me, and we'll get into the contender struggle in a minute, but Russell Westbrook, man, I said it when the trade happened. I don't like the fit. You know, I mean, there's not a lot of teams who are trying to win championships that I like Russ fitting on him, and I'm a Russell Westbrook fan. I just don't think his style helps you win championships. And what we're seeing early in these first two couple weeks is the struggles that they're having. You know, and I do think the Lakers will be fine. But I just don't like that fix. And I think that's something to monitor. Like, how are they going to get the best out of Russell Westbrook? But at this point, Russ has been in the league, what, 13, 14 years now? got drafted same year as D Rose, about 13, 14 seasons. And it's like, that's just who he is, bro. Like, it's like a certain point, like, you don't change when you're like 36 or some shit like that. Like, you know, not to say he's not 36, but when you're stuck in your ways, you're stuck in your ways. That's just how Russ plays ball, whether good or whether bad. And I just don't think that's going to help the Lakers win the championship, which is what they're obviously trying to do. And it's other things I'm paying attention to. It's like, you know, outside of opening night, the NBA is just kind of like, you know, it's just something to watch when there's really nothing else going on. You know, now that the baseball season's over, there's really no sports to watch during the week outside of the NBA, unless you're a hockey guy, you know what I'm saying? So it's just really just, I feel like the first 2 months of the season are really just a glorified preseason where, you know, guys are still trying to get their feet under them. You know, it's a lot of chemistry going on, trying to get everybody chemistry on the same page and just trying to figure out what type of identity you're going to have as a basketball team for the rest of the season. And, you know, going to this next topic about, you know, the top three starts, you know, the Bulls are 6-1, the Heat are 6-1, the Knicks are 5-2. I'm really not surprised. I mean, I picked the Bulls to be good this year, obviously. I said 48 wins, fifth seed. I didn't expect them to come out the gate 6-1. And especially with that impressive win the other night against Boston, which showed me this team is going to fight no matter how many points they're down and they're never going to be out of a game. It's just really good to see them get off on a hot streak and to see like all the question marks we've had. Like, defense is a huge question with this team. They out here locking up. Like, they're not just, you know, getting by. They out here locking up, which is something I feel is great to watch. And DeMar DeRozan, man. DeMar is out there trying to prove a point to everybody who said him and Zach can't work. Everybody who said that he was the worst signing in the offseason, not just for the Bulls, but period, which I thought was crazy. So it's good to see him. And now one thing is just Lonzo. I think Lonzo Ball is finally becoming the player that I thought he would be when he left UCLA, which a lot of people thought he would be. Well, Magic Johnson thought he was going to be. The Lakers thought he was going to be. And I think that's fun to watch. Like, you know, we can see, you know, Vooch is struggling. You know, DeMar's been great. Those two, to me, aren't the long-term future of this team. I think once DeMar's contract is up, he'll be gone. Or you know, who knows, later on, he'll be a trade piece. And I expect when Jokic is a free agent that Vooch would not be on this basketball team. Well, if you look at the pillars of this team, man, of course, Pat Williams, and I get this injury in a second, Zach LaVine, and I think you got your backcourt for the next 5 to 10 years with Zach and Lonzo. Lonzo's a weird situation because you don't ever see point guards who are getting ready to enter their prime hit free agency. So I think the Bulls, you know, got this basically like a draft pick coming into his own now, which is kind of dope. And Zach is just hooping. I think finally the world is going to see what kind of player Zach is. He's looking like the best shooting guard in basketball, and he's playing all on one thumb. You know, he's got that injury. But the biggest problem right now, obviously, is Pat Williams. Pat Williams is hurt, and I'm more disappointed for Pat more than I am for the Bulls because it's like he's missing a whole season of development now. And that's going to be something that, you know, I don't think it's going to affect the Bulls as far as this year. I think there'll be ways to, you know, plug in different guys. We already seen contributions from Derrick Jones Jr. and Tony Bradley. And I do think close we get to February, the AK and Mark Eversley will make a deal. But I just feel sorry for him. You know what I'm saying? As far as his development, I hope when he comes back that, you know, he'll be a little bit better. And, you know, but as far as the Knicks, I think the Knicks are going to be a good regular season team. There's nothing I've seen from them that changes my opinion on them as a team. I still think they have the same issues offensively that they had in the playoffs. I don't think Julius Randle is a franchise guy. We all see how he folded in the playoffs. And even last week against the Bulls, like, those missed free throws bought the Bulls and gave the Bulls a chance to win. I mean, he had Zoe locking them up on multiple possessions. That can't happen. But as far as regular season, I think they'll be good. And the Heat, same thing with the Heat. We're seeing the you know, how Kyle Lowry affects the offense. Jimmy doesn't have to do as many things as before. But, you know, none of my main opinions on any of these three teams have really changed so far. I still think all three are going to be in the runnings for the 3-5 seed in the East. And they're coming off the real, real great starts.
Yeah. And I think with the Bulls, you know, size is not it's an issue as far as rebounding goes. I think, you know, we're going to take a wait and see approach on Tony Bradley. You know, he's really had to play himself into shape, but he's been playing better the last couple of days. One person I think I tweeted about this, but one person I definitely think they should look at is Boogie Cousins coming off the bench, you know, adding some size and some rebounding. You really only need him to play about 15 to 18 minutes a game, you know, while Vooch is getting rest. As far as Vooch, I think, you know, we've been saying he's struggling, but he's still posted, you know, several games with, you know, 15 points, 17 rebounds. So he's working his way into it. I think, you know, you've seen some confusion in the fourth quarter offense a couple of times. You know, even though they've worked it out and they've won, like you said, 6-1. But I think going forward, you know, a lot of the people who really said, oh, we don't know how Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan are going to fit together, that really was just a ridiculous statement. Because, you know, as we've seen, you know, they play extremely well together. You know, it gives the Bulls another ball handler, so you don't have to have Zoe, you know, bringing the ball up all the time. Another thing that I really, really – you know, have to tip my cap to, because at first we were like, I don't know why the fuck they paid him, but Alex Caruso has been, you know, as advertised. I see why Laker fans loved him. Bro is all over the place, all over the court. And, you know, another person I really got to shout out is Ayo. You know, he's shown some flashes as a rookie, you know, in his, you know, the minutes he has been given. He was critical to that comeback against the Celtics. And so, you know, having Ayo is another ace in the pocket going forward, because, you know, we're still waiting to see how Kobe White plays in this offense. You know, I know a lot of people really want to just say trade Kobe, but I think you do need to
at least. Oh, hell no, man.
You need to at
look,
least.
Look at this bench. This bench ain't got no score.
Look at how he played last year, you know, especially toward the end of the year. That guy, he's a bucket. So, you know, having Kobe on that second unit when he gets back, I think that's going to be exciting to watch. And so, I mean, as far as the Bulls go, I'm really – the size thing is really my issue. I'm not necessarily I'm not even looking too far forward into the future, even with Vooch and DeMar, because I think DeMar has been an underappreciated player for a very long time.
Definitely.
And I think, you know, we're going to get into the, you know, the fall in three-point shooting percentages later, but I think having a guy like that who has such a versatile, you know, high-post, mid-range game, and you can really get buckets when you need them. You know, it's a lot of games when you're watching the Bulls, well, bro will come down and just dribble right into a jump shot, two quick points, you know what I'm saying? Things like that, whether it be to break the momentum of the other team or get the Bulls a bucket, you know what I'm saying? To keep their momentum going. And adding him with Zach, and like you said, with Zach, now this gives Zach an opportunity. He knows he doesn't have to do everything while he's letting that thumb heal up. So, I mean, I'm excited for the Bulls. I'm still, like I said, I still got him as my fourth seed, but I mean, a couple weeks from now, you know what I'm saying? If they keep this up, and we talked about this schedule that they have. But if they continue to win and play well against these playoff teams, then, you know, we definitely got to reconsider where we have them ranked at the end of the year.
Definitely, definitely. Now let's get to the contenders and struggling. We've been seeing slow starts from the Lakers, slow starts from the Nets. You know, the Bucks look like a well-oiled machine after that first game of the season. They've been playing mid. Now, granted, Drew Holiday has been – I don't think Drew Holiday's played since the first game. And now Chris Middleton is in COVID protocol. Which out of these contenders do you has the most concerning play that can linger longer than just a couple weeks?
Most concerning. I mean, probably Phoenix, just because of the way they came out of nowhere.
I almost forgot about Phoenix.
they came out of nowhere last year, and you know, so that's one contender I really, you know, concerned about. And honestly, you know, I talked about it earlier, the Clippers. You know what I'm saying? And with Kawhi, if he's officially out for the year, you know, we know with him, he's going to take his time and come back when he really, you know, feels 100%. But if that happens to be the entire year, then I can see them being inconsistent like this. So that's why, like I said, it's going to take a hell of an effort from Paul George to pull that team up. But those are really the two I worry about the most. As far as, you know, the Lakers, they 5-3. But, you know, we see this every time LeBron brings a new group of talented people together. You know, they got to find time to really mold, mesh together. You know, Melo's played well. You know, Russ has had some good games, you know, mainly when LeBron is out and he can just be Russ. So, you know, we'll see how they work that going forward. But I'm not really worried about the Lakers or anybody like that.
I mean, I'm not worried about the Lakers regular season-wise, but I do have concerns about this roster construction, man. I just don't think it's enough. Like I said, I had them in the final just because I don't believe in the rest of the West. I mean, you know, we're seeing issues facing this guy. We don't know what's going to happen with Kawhi. You know, Denver's whatever. There's really not a real threat to me to them. I just don't like the Russ fit. I mean, Anthony Davis falls like 10 times a fucking game. Like, you know, I wouldn't be like you're never gonna have a moment of peace watching Anthony Davis. You know, because he's liability to get hurt literally every game. Just even in that Spurs game like a week and a half ago. I feel like, you know, he looked like he had two career-ending injuries while he's playing. You know, I don't really like the bench. And, you know, LeBron, you can see LeBron's age. I mean, even some of these dunks that people were gassing up, he looked older. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't jump as high as he used to. And I think it's a problem for the Lakers when LeBron is still probably the best player on this team. Like, they signed Anthony Davis not just to win a championship, but for him to take the, you know, take the reins when LeBron retires for the Lakers. And if I'm the Lakers, I'm not too sure I can rely on Anthony Davis long term. But, you know, for this year, I just, you know, LeBron's already missed, what, three games already? You know what I'm saying? Like, dealing with the ankle, and it's just, I don't know if they're going to have enough to win it all. It might be enough to get them to the Western Conference Finals and stuff like that, but I don't know. I've got some concerns about them as far as playoffs are going. And there's one team I didn't mention that I want to talk about, not really struggling, but the Warriors, man. I think the Warriors are going to be better than I thought they were going to be. I think I had them as like my fifth or sixth seed in the West, one of the two. And I think they have a chance to be a fourth seed. Now, granted, it's wild early, but Steph is still playing out his mind. I really like what we've been seeing from Jordan Poole, who's my sixth man of the year. You know what I'm saying? And I think if Klay gets back and he's even 80%, I think that can be enough to get them a four seed. I really do. I think, you know, we got to see what's going to happen when Wiseman gets back. But I think last year, as bad as they were, it gave some of the younger guys an opportunity to be put in bigger roles. And I think that's going to pay off a lot for them this year. And, you know, I'm not an Andrew Wiggins guy by any stretch of the mean, but man, Andrew Wiggins is your fourth or fifth option. I think that's a solid fourth or fifth option. So I really like how they've been playing. And I think that can, you know, carry on through the season.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, I mean, you hit the nail on the head, bro. They got a lot of pieces that, like you said, they play up to their potential. And then you slide Klay in there, and Klay can actually be Klay. And that's a team that could definitely be a threat out west. I think I could have them going higher, even up to like a three seed. Because, I mean, I feel like it's a lot of parity in the league right now.
So. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. This is definitely something I feel in a couple months, we're still not going to really know, like, who's the favorite. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think every contender has a question mark with them. You know what I'm saying? But let's talk about Dame Lillard, man. Dame Lillard, I feel like I'm going to look like a genius come All-Star break. I've been saying this is like June, man. Like, you know, I stand by my sources. I stand where I've been told that I believe he's going to get traded by All-Star break. And just the way they're starting right now, he isn't playing the best. The team, I feel like Portland has reached, I feel like Portland has plateaued. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they've gone as high as they possibly can. I think they've maxed that roster out. And I just don't really know what else you're going to get from. And if I'm Dame, you got to get out, bro. You got to go. And I think eventually he's not going to have a choice. Eventually he's going to see the writing on the wall. I think at most what you're going to get from this team is, you know, seven seed in the play-in game. I just don't see it from them. They look bad. And there's like there's no chemistry there. And Chauncey Billups in his first 2 weeks looks like he shouldn't be a head coach. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like I would not be shy. I'm going to stick with what I said. I think he gets traded by All-Star break. I just think right now it's actually getting a little sped up.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, you know, they've been reports that he's, you know, enamored with Draymond Green. I think if that's the case, they should be trying to get, you know, the younger.
Yeah, if you're going to get Draymond, go out and get Ben Simmons.
Go get Ben Simmons, right. Go get the young light-skinned version of Draymond. But I think that situation, like you said, bro, it's just a matter of when, not if, at this point. You know, and we saw the I don't know if you saw the report today about LeBron and AD recruiting him, you know.
Recruiting who?
Dame. Well, they had a meeting with him. He didn't know it was gonna be like a recruiting thing, but
you're talking about during the offseason?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean. But yeah, like we were talking about there, who are they gonna trade to get that nigga?
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm just saying they just, you know, he said he had a little meeting with him, but he just discussed, you know, what it would be like if he were to leave Portland. It wasn't even necessarily just a coming to LA type of thing. It was just different, you know, different scenarios. He said, you know, it's clear as day, you know, if he were to join them with his skill set, you know, they could get anything done. But You know, it's just the fact that he acknowledged that, you know, he has been discussing it. And, you know, as much as he wants to win, you know, he wants to be put in a position to win. And if Portland can't do that, like you said, I think, you know, obviously, you know, at least through the first month of the season, first maybe month and a half, two, but like you said, if things don't start to turn around, pick up, you're going to see Dame say, all right, bro, just get me out of here.
Yeah, and I want that for Dame. Run from the ground. We've been saying it on this podcast for, I feel like, for months. You know what I'm saying? Like, run from the ground, brother. I need you to go. We need to see Dame on the team. It's actually worth a damn. Let's talk about these rule changes. You know, also, I want to talk about Scottie Pippen as we end the pod, because it's just like, this nigga, man. But let's talk about the rule changes and the basketball reaction. I feel like James Harden is... He's had to readjust his whole game. Like, he really looks lost out there. I feel like the last couple games, he's been starting to, you know, get a little bit more of a feel for it. He got to the free throw line like 20 times the other night, I think it was, which is regular James Harden shit. I just feel like I like the rule because I feel like it was, you know, it was messy. You know what I'm saying? We don't need all these terrible fouls being called. And I feel like in just in general, the first 2 weeks of the season, refs have been letting guys play. It's been a little bit more of a physical game and then we're more accustomed to seeing. And then I don't really understand the new basketball reaction. What's happening with that?
Yeah, no, you know, this season they switched from the Spalding and Wilson. And so it's like it's a completely different basketball. And, you know, Paul George was talking about it. He was like, it's a different basketball. And I don't know if you remember when they tried to switch to basketball the first time. And they ended up going back because too many players complaining about it. The players were getting like cuts in their hands and all type of shit. But yeah, basically Paul George was saying that this ball isn't as soft as if anybody, you know, listening has actually felt the real NBA basketball before, you know how soft they used to be. Like,
yeah,
it was an actual leather basketball, but they're saying these are just a different texture. So, you know, 3-point shooting is like the lowest, it's on pace to be this lowest. It's been in like 5 or 6 years, like around 34%. Last year it was 36%. So, you know, dropping 2-3% in 1 year is kind of a lot. And so they were talking about that and just how players are reacting to it. CJ McCollum, he said, you know, it's the shooter's fault. He was like, it ain't got shit to do with the ball. But I think that's something that's going to be interesting to see going forward, how many players mention it. Because, I mean, Paul George. My bad. Paul George is just.
And we all know how they
He's the first person to actually, you know, say something and mention it in a press conference. But we'll see how that goes going forward. But it has been interesting. I think as far as the rule change, I'm with you. A lot of these unnatural motions, that, you know, the non-basketball motions, they shouldn't have been getting called in the first place. And a few years ago, they said they were going to tighten, you know, crack down on it, and they didn't. And so to see them now actually do it and, you know, call it more similar to the FIBA style, where it's like, okay, if you get fouled and you're actually just shooting a jump shot, yes, that's a foul, clearly. But this whole you up fake and then dive into somebody, or the one we all hated when the point guard would come across, not even just the point guard, whoever was handling the ball would come across half court, then stop. And, you know, the person behind them runs into him and they would call that a foul. I saw them not call that a few times this week.
The Steph Curry, James Harden special.
Yeah, it's just like shit like that. It's like, come on, that's ridiculous. That's not a foul. And so I think, you know, but at the end of the day, these are still the best players in the world. So they'll make the adjustments. Most of them will, even though, you know, you heard Trae Young complaining about it. But that's probably because, like, a lot of these players have added that as a part of their game, almost like a skill set, you know. The foul baiting, the, you know, knowing how to hook people, how to, you know, dive here, you know, just getting to the line. Because that's really what it's all about, getting to the free throw line. But I'm glad the refs have cracked down on that because it was getting ridiculous. It was like soccer. All the flopping and shit was just being rewarded.
Yeah, man, I definitely agree with that. I just feel like, you know, NBA players are prima donnas a lot of time. These niggas just like to fucking complain about shit. I think in a couple months, we'll be back to normal. We'll forget about it. And like, oh, I remember when this was a thing. And James Harden is too great of a player to, you know, anybody who thinks that he's just not, that's the only reason he was cold, you just don't watch basketball. Like, he'll figure it out. All great players do. Let's wrap the podcast up talking about a former Bull. Steady yapping his mouth again, man. Scottie Pippen, man. I just I'm so fed up with this dude, man. It's like take he's
doing this down. Take his jersey down. It's time. Like
take it down, dog.
He needs to be excommunicated from the Bulls community. Enough is enough.
Enough is enough, my guy. Like, what are we doing here, bro? I'm tired of it. He's got a book coming out, and I think the most egregious thing about it was I think he kind of suffers from player two nigga syndrome, I like to call it. Niggas just got to be comfortable being Luigi to Michael Jordan's Mario, bro. It just is what it is. You're one of the greatest Luigis of all time, bro. Yeah. Nobody's sitting up here saying that Michael Jordan would have won anything without you. Michael Jordan said on The Last Dance he wouldn't have won a championship without you. I think Scottie Pippen is most overrated but most underrated NBA player in NBA history. Like, yeah. People who don't like Mike gas him up too much. People who like Mike too much don't give him enough of his credit. But I thought The Last Dance gave him enough credit. I mean, episode two is like strictly on Scottie Pippen. You know what I'm saying? And I think on the last episode, they actually did him pretty some justice, showing that he wasn't a punk and staying out there with a back injury. And anybody who's had a back injury, you know, you can barely walk with back spasms, nevertheless run up and down a basketball court in the NBA Finals. And I feel like it really spotlighted him and showed how strong he is. But if he's out here thinking he's going to get the same credit as Michael Jordan, bro, I mean, it's ridiculous, bro. Like, you had your opportunity to show that you were as good as him on the same level as him in 1994, and that didn't happen. Not only did it not happen, you quit on your team, bro. Now, you sit up here, blame Phil Jackson, say Phil Jackson gave the ball to Tony Kukoc because it was racism, whatever. I'm not saying that he's not. Like I said, I don't give white people the benefit of the doubt. Phil Jackson might be racist. That ain't the point. You know what I'm saying? The point is, you out here switching stuff up. You know, then you say that, oh, he's not a great teammate. But then when you get inducted to the Hall of Fame, who's the dude who's inducting you? Michael Jordan. What'd you say to Mike up on that stage when you got inducted? You told him you're the best teammate I ever had. So is it Uchiwali or is it one Mike, bro? Like, I understand you're trying to sell books. I understand you're trying to be out here, you know, saying a little crappy bourbon. I get it, but enough is enough, bro. And you're out here, you're trying to actually defend your name. And I actually think it's going the opposite of the way he wants it to. I feel like he's not helping his case about how good he was. And I just feel like he run his mouth too much, bro. Just shut up.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. He's definitely diminishing his own legacy by trying to shit on Mike. Like, no matter what you say, no matter how you try to downplay it, bro, you will always be robbing the Batman. There's nothing wrong with being, like you said, the top two Robins ever. Like, the only one who I would put above him is maybe, you know, Kobe doing that Lakers three-peat run. But at the same time, Scottie got six. So I would say, you know, Scottie was probably better. But it's literally nothing wrong with being the best number two ever. But it just goes with a lot of people, you know, their narcissism and wanting to be, feel like they're praised and getting their just due. And this is just, I feel like, a culmination of Scottie over these past 25 years feeling like, you know, he never got his just due. And it's a sad way to go about it. It's unfortunate, and it's definitely not going to get him the results that he thinks he's going to get outside of publicity, maybe for his book or whatever, what have you. But other than that, I mean, I think it's just corny. It really is. And then bringing LeBron into it, so he only released The Last Dance for the – I'm like, bro, get the fuck out of here. Though. Like that argument is goes well beyond what LeBron is doing.
You know how many years ESPN's been trying to get Michael Jordan to talk? Yeah, it's not about, right? You're trying to convince me Jordan call ESPN, nigga, I want to do this documentary. Come on, bro.
Right, you got the greatest player of all time to actually sit down and do a documentary when he don't do shit like this.
And he touched on everything. I didn't think he was going to touch on the Republicans by sneakers thing, too.
He touched on everything. Like a lot of that. Yeah.
Talk about his pops, all that. So it's just like, Pip, shut up, man. Right, shut up. And then he's like, he got paid $10 million. Of course he did. It's about him. It ain't about you. You know what I'm saying? So whatever Pip going through, bro, get some help, bro. And I'm not even saying that on no joking stuff because it sounds like some midlife crisis stuff. You know, he got the situation with his wife. He just lost his son. And I really do hope, you know, if anything is going on, Pip, he gets some help because this to me is kind of like lashing out. You know, if he was just talking shit to now, it's just like, okay, this might be a legitimate issue, man. So get some help, Pip. But we're going to wrap this episode up, man. It's a little shorter episode than usual. I wasn't too much to get over it, and I'm not going to lie to y'all, I'm pretty tired right now. It's been a long day, you know. But, yeah, man, I want to shout out everybody. Thank everybody who hit me up with birthday wishes over the past week. I am not drinking alcohol for a nice amount of time. And I just want to address the allegations that I left my party with bottles. Now, it was a peak Larry David moment, but what I will say is this. The bottles that I left with were gifted to me for my birthday. So, yes, I did take those. But at the same time, I left beers. I left beers, and I left the bottle with Jameson. So, I will say that I have no sympathy over that. And the people who accused me of this, a.k.a. my cousin, and a couple of the homegirls, it's all good. It's all good. I asked y'all, did y'all want anything before I left? Y'all said no. So I currently have 3 bottles in my packing bag that I'm bringing back to Los Angeles with me. Thank you. But we will holler at y'all next week, man. You know to follow me at Barb Chess Scott. You follow Dante at October Zone Tay. Yeah, man, this NBA season going to continue. We'll see what we got to talk about next week. Follow Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network, man. And we'll holler at y'all. We are out.